You're listening to Kiss My Aesthetic, your go-to podcast for brag-worthy branding, marketing, and entrepreneurship advice. I'm your host, Michelle Winterstein of MKW Creative Co. Let's dive into the episode. Greetings and welcome back to the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. I have a great solo episode for you today, and I know many of you have been asking me to do this topic because it's something that I think is kind of a little bit of like a mystical creature in the creative world, and that is job titles, and specifically the job title of a creative director, right? Creative direction gets kind of this confusing wrap around it because there's not totally a clear job description, especially if you're a freelancer, you own your own business, and you're calling yourself creative director. A lot of people ask, like, what does a creative director even do? What are your job responsibilities? How do you structure your day? How do you structure your team? And I'm hoping to cover a lot of that in today's episode. So without further ado, let's get into today's topic. As always, guys, if you learned something or if you have something that you want to share, please always post us on your stories or send us a DM or email us podcast@mkwcreative.co to submit your questions or to submit a topic idea. I'm all ears for that and would love to, you know, create the kind of content that you want to hear and help you in your business in any way that I can. So with that, we'll get into what is a creative director. The first thing that we need to think about when it comes to a creative director is what are the key responsibilities of the role? So as you know, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, my story is that I started as a college student charging $15 an hour for graphic design. That was, to me, like making out like a bandit. I was 20 years old. I was making more money than I was babysitting. And I was sitting on my couch in my pajamas when my friends were hungover in college. And I was finding a way to make money online. And that was the most satisfying thing to me. That was 10 years ago now. So we've evolved past that from designer to graphic designer to brand designer and really niching down to just branding to growing and scaling my team. And now changing my role, changing my title, changing my job description to become creative director. And a creative director is more of kind of the top of the org chart that oversees all of the brand communications. So that means overseeing the vision for the brands, the campaigns, and the projects, leading the creative team and coordinating with all the departments, discussing the importance of the market trends and the audience preferences, like really, really getting into the nitty-gritty of the strategy, but also highlighting the difference between creative innovation and brand consistency. So something that we want to think about with creative direction is that you kind of have your hands in all the cookie jars, right? So you're wearing lots of hats, you got your hands in all the cookie jars, and your goal as a creative director is to make sure that all of the efforts on behalf of the company are not only creative, but are aligned with the brand vision and goals, and they are aligned with where the company is headed. So, day in the life as a creative director looks maybe a little bit something like this. First and foremost, I am doing all of the client correspondence on the client account side. This is not necessarily required of a creative director, but being the person that loves to take the discovery call, loves to interface with the client, loves to kind of get the skinny on what needs to happen and then delegate out, that's the first thing that I'm really going to take care of, which is a lot of the client communications and project communications to set the vision. So we talk a lot about mission statement and vision statement, but setting the vision for the company means taking in the full landscape of everything that's going on and creating a plan accordingly. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, if you remember when they all stand around the table, that's the giant map, and they're moving the pieces of all the different armies around the map, that's creative director responsibilities. It's seeing everything and being able to make moves accordingly. So client communications is a big part of the responsibilities as creative director. The other responsibility is really making sure that I have a team that can execute on the vision that's set for the company. So we will meet with the client, we'll, for example, do their branding. They'll sign on for social media and creative direction package. It is my responsibility to ensure that everyone on my team understands the vision set forth by the client and is able to execute on that accordingly. So that usually looks like myself and Cody, business manager Cody, we love her, are both on the calls with the clients, and we often will be delegating out to the rest of the team. So on our team, we've got Madison, designer, Julianne doing Facebook groups. We've got Brittany doing PR and engagement, Gabby writing all the social captions and copy. We've got Josephina doing video editing. And then Berta with podcasts, myself, and Cody. So there's a pretty big team here, and each client asks for something slightly different. So a big part of our goal is making sure that we're getting that vision, we're getting that download from the client, and then we're kind of putting brains together and delegating out all those responsibilities. The way we've set this up is through Basecamp. So Basecamp is our project management tool of choice. This is our favorite tool. And it allows each person to have access to all the client folders, but also have their own task list and what we call card table of the things that they're supposed to be working on. So in any given week, on every given day, myself as creative director, I have full visibility on what every single person is working on. And that is really, really, really important for our process because it allows me to delegate and prioritize to our team in ways that the client projects are moving along at a good pace. So again, creative director is setting the vision, managing the team. And the third part of that is really setting the visual creative tone. So I think the great case study for this with us is how Dental Hygiene Nation signed on for us to be their outsourced creative director partner. So when they launch merch, one of the things that they come to us for is insights on theme, insights on design, and basically the entire merch campaign, soup to nuts. You'll definitely want to go back and listen to the episode with Caitlin Rastetter, Dental Hygiene Nation. We'll link it in the show notes. But that is really a good example of the creative direction responsibilities. That process looks a little something like this. They send out 4 quarterly subscription boxes. Once every 3 months, they're sending out a box to their audience that pay to be on the subscription. In that box, there needs to be some combination of items that total to the value of between $80 and $100. They need to be designed to a theme, they need to be custom, and there needs to be a custom box to the outside. So as a creative director, there are both strategy tasks and design tasks associated with this. So it'll usually start with a meeting with the client. We'll get the full notes, the downloads. We'll start to suggest themes based on what we see happening in pop culture. For example, we just did an Olympics themed box, and we have some really cool ones coming up for summer and fall. We will start to set the aesthetics. So we'll go on Pinterest, do our research. We'll create images with Midjourney, which you guys have seen posted on the socials. And then we will come forward with what we think the themes, the copywriting, the language, the aesthetics of the actual design pieces should be. So once that's been sent to the client, we take another meeting. So again, creative director, I say, this is our vision as a team of what we think is going to work best for you. We talk to the client, we work out any edits, and then we create all the design files for that client to be able to go order and execute on those things on their own. So again, creative director, really striking that balance between what are the business and brand goals? What's the practical things that need to happen? How many items? What's the price point? What are the, you know, qualifications of the things that should belong in the subscription box? And then all the way through to the design and development. And then to even add a layer on top of that, our team will also help with social media. So we will help with the carousels, the reels, the stories, the posts, the promotion for the theme of whatever that effort is. So to go back to the beginning, this is the analogy of the cookie jar. My hands are in every single cookie jar, the whole part of the process, right? The entire supply chain, from the first meeting with the client to the campaign ideation and concept to the sourcing to the design and then all the way through to the social. That being said, I get a lot of help. So I could not do my job as a creative director without Cody managing my schedule and managing all of the invoices, contracts, billing, et cetera, without Madison doing really the lion's share of the design work, which is really important, without Gabby writing captions, without Josephina doing video, with Julianne and Brittany and Berta and everyone's help is really what makes this whole machine run. Because myself as a creative director, what I've learned even just in this year, year 10 of doing my business, is that I cannot do all of these jobs alone. I used to think that I could. I used to think that I could take meetings from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., walk my dog for an hour, come back, and then design from 7:30 to 2:30 in the morning, and then wake up and do the whole thing again. That practically broke my brain. So I had a real kind of lifestyle shift in February and had to get really honest with myself and figure out what part of this am I actually good at and what do I like? And how can I ensure that I can do more of what I like and less of what I don't like? The issue became I started to like everything. I like video editing. I like posting on Instagram. I like doing Instagram stories graphics and being on site for photo shoots and doing all of the jobs. But there has to be balance. And I think that getting clarity on your role within your own company is what's going to help you get to a balanced state. And it also gives other people the confidence to show up for you and to help you. So you kind of have two choices when you're growing and scaling your business. You can like grow outward, meaning you get more people to do more projects, or you can grow upward, aka get more expensive, get more exclusive. And I think there's seasons where we do either one. Sometimes we're scaling out, sometimes we're scaling up. But in this new chapter of where our business is going, where I'm acting as the creative director on behalf of the brands, it's really about figuring out how to tap into what I know how to do best, which is to use my brain and use my expertise and use my knowledge that I've collected over the last 10 years of doing this job. It's less important now for me to be actually creating the Instagram carousel that gets posted on behalf of the client if I can effectively communicate that vision to someone on our team who can execute it on our behalf. Because that's really the team aspect of all of this. So a creative director, like, you're really only as good as all of the people that can help you execute your vision. So whether that looks like you are in a corporate side, so you have a team embedded there, or you're coming in as like a freelance creative director, I think that that's a bit more vague because it's hard to see the work product. And I think that's probably where my own insecurity comes into play, is that as a creative director, what is the value that I'm bringing to the table? What is the thing? What's the deliverable? What's the handoff? And it's a lot more abstract than it was when I was saying, here's your next 30 days of posts. Here's your next 15 story suites. So there's things like that where it's that subtle mindset shift from being like, oh, I'm a freelancer, I'm a designer, I'm an agency owner, to I'm a creative director. That jump has been scary on our side. It's really kind of what it is at this point, right? Like, there's not really any other way to describe what it is that I provide on behalf of our team and on behalf of our brand. So even me recording this podcast, like, this is thought leadership. This is my opportunity to share what I know. This is my opportunity to educate our audience. And that's coming from the position of someone who's now a creative director, who's not trying to do 5,000 jobs at once. So if you needed to hear that message today, there you go. The other part that's really, really integral to being a good creative director is your creative process. And the process, I hate to tell you, does go beyond just being on your phone or being on your laptop. So how do creative directors find inspiration, foster creativity with their team? How do you discuss the process of developing and pitching creative ideas? This is something that in this new era, in our 10th year of business, I'm really starting to sink my teeth into. So for me, that looks like traveling, that looks like going to new restaurants, that looks like going to museums and shows. That means having conversations with people, even on this podcast, right? To kind of get my brain to move and stretch and stay curious about how things are going to connect, even if I don't know how they're going to connect, like right here, right now. Even if it's not immediate, how can I start making moves towards the types of people we want to work for, towards the types of things that inspire us, towards the type of things that will actually move the needle. And if you take anything away from this episode, anything, it's to start to seek out inspiration outside of your screens. I cannot stress this enough. It is so important to figure out as a creative what you like to do, what gets you fired up that does not already exist on the internet. So whether that's books, whether that's movies, right? But nature or art museums or music, like, go find things that get you out of your routine, because even if it doesn't feel like work, it is work. And I think that's where that creative director role gets so elusive and it gets so confusing for someone who's starting younger or starting less experienced. It's like, well, shit, I want to go to museums all day and I want to just like go to lunch with interesting people and chit chat. And that's, to be totally honest, where I think I'm struggling the most, because that feels like not work. And I just had this conversation with my mom and my sister and my dad, is like, that doesn't feel like work, because I've only quantified work as things that are physically coming out through the computer, logo files and social media assets and strategy plans and deliverables. Like, I've only quantified work as being deliverable driven, when the shift that's happening in this year, in year 10, is really considering that the work product is the way that my brain can connect ideas. The work product is how I'm communicating the vision, how I'm taking what the client is telling me, and then how I'm spitting it out to the team, and then being able to bring it back to the client and say, this, isn't this what you were looking for? And that's really my superpower. And I think that's really the role that now I'm playing within our team. So a lot of that comes back to, again, support, figuring out how to foster your creative ideas, how to take what you see, what you learn, what you've heard, what you've experienced, and bring that into the client experience. A lot of that informs how we find new tools and how we find new color combinations and fonts and inspiration of things that are really going to help us stand out. But the podcast is a great example of that. So continuing to have conversations with people outside of my normal sphere, my normal bubble, and have thought-provoking conversations to really drive and move the needle forward. So I'm not a podcaster, guys, for the income. I am a podcaster for the opportunity. So I use this podcast as an opportunity to go talk to people that I think know more about something than I do. Taking the creative process into your work is something that is so underrated because it allows you the opportunity to take things that you may not know how you're going to use and imbue them and embed them into your work product. So a lot of times when I'm talking to clients, I will pull inspiration from places I've traveled, menus I've taken pictures of, experiences that I've had and said, this really left an impact on me. And this was really something that I think we could implement for your brand. And that just shows not only that you're super paying attention to the client, but that you're constantly in this like curious research mode. And being in curious research mode also tells the client that you've got your confidence in your skill and your deliverables down pat so well that you're still leaving space to go be curious about things. And that's what really the podcast is for as well, right? So I use this podcast not as a revenue generator. Like, believe me, it actually costs me a decent amount of money to run the podcast each year. But the podcast gives me an opportunity in the guest episodes to really go talk to people that I think know more than I do. Not only broaden my network, but to give myself more information so then I can go back to my clients and say, you know what? I had this really great conversation with so-and-so who's going to be able to talk to you about that. Or let me tell you what I've learned from this person. It's proactive learning by way of conversation that really does help our team in a major way. Back to team. Again, a creative director is only as good as the team that they have. So when you're thinking about building your creative team, at least at MKW Creative Co., it is very important to us that we always use we language and that we always, always, always give credit where credit is due. There is nothing more disheartening than seeing someone take credit for your hard work. I think everyone can agree with that across the board. Alternatively, what our team does is every team member is invited on every meeting that they can make. So there is full transparency, full visibility. Everyone is allowed on any call that they would like. We also have a camera policy, make it up on your own, like however you're feeling that day. I never require people to have their cameras on. If they'd like to have it on, I always appreciate it, but it's not a requirement for me that anyone from our team has their camera on for any call. I think it's kind of a silly rule. On top of that, it's really important that we give credit where credit is due, and I will always make a point of building up our team in front of the client. So I will be very clear and very transparent about my role versus their role. And even in Basecamp, it has their name, comma, their job description. So there's very clear transparency on who's responsible for what. That being said, give flowers where flowers are due. But know also that if something goes wrong as a creative director, you have to be the first one to step up. You have to be the first one to step up and make it right by the client. Because at the end of the day, my name is on the door, hypothetically. My name's on the top of the invoice. Our logo's on the top of the invoice, right? They are paying MKW Creative Co. So any team member, I would never, ever, ever put them out to roast in front of the client or even put them out to roast in front of each other. If there's ever an issue or there's ever any kind of conflict, I'm always going direct to that person because that's something between me and them that affects the larger group. But there has to always be a culture of building people up and creating space for people to want to contribute ideas. Sometimes, and my team may call me out for this, I will call on them to give ideas. So we may be in a conversation with a client. I'll say, you know, Madison designed this great thing. They want to see some kind of adjustment. I say, Madison, what do you think about that? Or I'll say, Gabby, like, can you give us an update on where you got to with XYZ thing? And giving them a voice in front of the client is also a way to lead it, to give the client more confidence in all of the team, right? Because the clients aren't having one-on-one conversations with all the contractors. The clients aren't even having one-on-one conversations with me and Cody all the time. But my job as the creative director and as the leader of the whole operation is to really make sure that each person's skill set shines and that the client feels not only that they trust what's getting done, but that they trust that the person who's working on it really understands them and their business. And that is something as a creative director that is really important to our process, is making sure that there is that communication beyond just, oh, I'm going to go ask this person for this thing. That being said, we do set a very clear boundary with those clients to say, if you need something done, you cannot go directly to the contractor. It must go through me and it must go through Cody. Because Cody and I kind of split project management responsibilities. She's project management on the logistics side. I'm project management on a creative side. And as far as like deliverables and turnover and speed and everything like that. So there is that split responsibility, but we really, really train up the client to say, like, if you need something from us, it needs to go through our process and it needs to go from top down, not bottom up. And as a creative director, that allows me to move the pieces and parts on the game board based on output, based on what we have planned. Because a lot of times clients will not know that we already have a whole system planned out that we're working on in the background. So we've had tons of conversations as a team. Hey, I want to see this. Let's, you know, move more towards this category. Let's really step these videos up. Let's do these kinds of carousels. There is a whole backload of work that the client isn't privy to until we are ready to share. So what we don't want is client throwing a whole bunch of responsibilities on our plate when we've already got stuff in the works. So that's why it's really important to establish the hierarchy of communication between yourself and the client and make sure that your contractors don't feel like they are getting yanked in 500 million different directions. Having those card tables in Basecamp has been game changer for us because it allows me to have a check-in with each team member and reprioritize their tasks every few days. So all of their tasks get loaded in. We have different categories. It's like a first draft task, a missing info columns, essentially. So think of them kind of like playing solitaire and you're dealing cards into different columns. So the first column is like, this is in the first draft phase. The second column is like, this is missing information. I can't move forward. The third column is for Michelle to review. So that's like the first pass at it, right? The rough draft. Then we have a column for edits. And then we have a column for client feedback. And as the task moves along, it stays organized under those columns. So I know when I go to check in on Madison's card table, for example, if I see she's got seven tasks in first draft and nothing for me to review, that I need to help her take off some of that workload or check in with her to see, okay, when can we expect some of these things to move along? And having that visibility really helps to show where stuff is in the flow to make sure that once it gets sent to the client, it's actually going to get, you know, put into production or scheduled into the social media scheduler, et cetera. Same with Josephina with video, right? Like we've got first draft, missing info, Michelle to review, waiting for client edits, and then export and handoff. So as those things move along, we've got good flow of work without me having to ask my contractors and ask my employees where their work is. There's always full visibility for myself and for Cody, because then on Cody's side, that looks like scheduling and task management. So when we do get a new request or we do get a new client to come through, she has the ability to go into my card table, Madison's, Gabby's, Josephina's, Jules, like everyone. She has the full visibility to be able to say, yes, we have capacity to do this, or hey, this is going to have to wait until we can get some of this stuff cleared through. So again, creative director, business owner side of things, having that amount of visibility is crucial because there's nothing worse than a creative director coming in at the 11th hour to say, I hate everything, start over. Or no, you should do it like this. And not being clear from the get-go without any recognition or appreciation for the amount of work that's on everyone's plate. That's, to me, the most annoying thing about the creative industry is like the lack of awareness for people that are doing the bulk of the work product. So again, work product being deliverables based, not ideas based, things that take a lot of time, that take technical skill. So you're only as good as your team. And that's something that I will ride or die for forever. The other thing to think about with creative direction is really the business side. And we kind of touched on that in this last example. that creative directors need to contribute to the strategic goals of the company or the client. That's the intersection of creativity and their business and commerce goals. So balancing what we'd love to do creatively with what's practical is definitely the role of a creative director. And I can't tell you how many times I've had ideas that were like, nope, we can't do that. Nope, that's not going to be feasible. That's going to be outrageously expensive. And we'd have to pare down. Alternatively, we've also worked with clients where they're like, yeah, go for it. Here's the budget. Rock and roll. But having that two-way communication between business brain and design brain is really what allows me to help the clients. So I say this to our team all the time is like, I speak business, but I can translate it to design. I speak design, but I can translate it to business. So I'm a really good mediator between the client and the team. And I think that protects our team because it keeps them from having to do that kind of communication work with the client, especially when they don't have the big picture visibility that I do. They haven't been working with clients since day one on the discovery call. They're coming in at week 3, 4, 5, 6, right? It's later down the process. How could I possibly expect them to know all the things that I know? They can't. They weren't on the first call. And even if they watched the first call, my way of understanding the project is going to be different than how different people learn. And I think that that acknowledgement also helps us stay kind of in our lanes, in our zone of genius. Some of the ways that you can communicate the value of the creative work to the client is also a responsibility of the creative director, because it's somewhat unfair, is not the right word, but it's unrealistic to expect your very technical, very specialized, very niche contractors and employees to then explain how that works with the greater ecosystem of their marketing. So that's very much my responsibility is, hey, Josephine is working on this type of video because this. I've got Madison over here working on this because of this. And Jules is doing this and Brittany's doing this and Gabby's doing this. So to have that and be able to explain it is definitely creative director role. And creating the vision and creating the overarching aesthetics is also part of the creative director role. So one of the things our team does is pretty regularly, like every 2 or 3 weeks, we do what's called like a creative sprint. You guys might have seen this on TikTok Live before. Sometimes I'll get on live and share it. But in a creative sprint, it's basically a co-working afternoon. We all get on Google Hangouts, we screen share, and I show what I'm working on, and we take turns showing what we're working on, and we give each other feedback. And that's kind of like an all hands on deck creative meeting that gives us a chance to clarify any questions, dig deeper, suggest things to each other, piggyback on one another, and really build it so that it's coming across cohesive and it's coming forward as being productive, right? So those creative sprints, that's another little hacky thing you can work on. Another thing that our team does every single week, no matter what, is our team meetings. So we host a 30-minute team meeting every week that starts with happies and crappies. And then we go all the way through the client roster. Here's what we're working on. Here's what's getting finished up. Here's what's coming down the pipeline. And here are all the new leads. It's really important to me to communicate to my team who we might be talking to, because I want them to be excited about it, even if they're not on the first call. I want them to be fired up when an opportunity comes their way. And I want them to also volunteer and be like, that's the one I want to work on. Heck yes, give me that. I'm all about it. So the team meeting, really important. The social sprints, really important. And then communicating to the client consistently. Creative directors should really be talking to the client on a regular basis, whatever that looks like for you. For us, that looks like once a week. And it's really a quick touch base. It's saying, this is what's been finished. This is what we're working on. And this is what's coming. And make sure that you're saving space for that client to come to you to solve their creative problems. Like, hey, we're hosting this event and we don't know how to market it. Or we got feedback about our merch and it was this. Or what kind of podcast episode should I produce next month? Like, that's our opportunity to do creative direction as a service, right? It's kind of that creative consulting mindset. To recap the whole thing, because this was a doozy, and I hope you got some value out of it. I think you will. Is to really think about how the creative director has one foot in the business camp and one foot in the design camp, right? Or the aesthetics camp. So kind of teeter-tottering between those two things. But I think getting to creative director status, for lack of a better term, in my own business has been 10 years in the making. I feel like now at year 10, I can confidently call what I do as creative direction, where I used to really park myself in the camp of brand design. Brand design and then social media, blah, blah, but loosely, right? Whereas now we've built a team to support the creative direction. So now we have specialists that work under the creative direction vision to execute on behalf of the client. And our positioning now is all about being the outsourced creative department for small to medium-sized businesses. So businesses that are between a ragtag team of freelancers and hiring people in-house. That sweet spot where it's like, we've gotten as far as we could with the people that we kind of know in our network, but no one's really steering the ship, all the way to now we're so busy that we need to bring some of these roles in-house. We are your team for those middle years because we can come on as the partner. I can talk with the marketing coordinator or the founder of the business and have my team help to execute. And that's why we're at the price point that we're at. That's why we're in the industry that we are. That kind of role, that is creative direction as a role, right? The other thing about creative direction is you are only as good as your team. So you have to invest in quality people. You have to invest in their skills. You have to invest in communicating with them, putting in the FaceTime, putting in the 10,000 hours, making your expectations explicitly clear, but also giving them room to bring their creative ideas to the table. So you're only as good as your team, and having transparency and visibility into everyone's workload is what's saved us and propelled us forward, is because it's never a doubt of who's working on what, because it's all out in the open and everyone can see it, right? So it helps us so much to have that kind of visibility. The other bit about being a creative director is realizing that work, your work as a creative director is not always tied to a deliverable. Right? It's sometimes it's just being on the call and having that $1 million idea for the client. Sometimes it's just creating the vision and having your team implement. That is creative direction. And I think that I'm saying this as a reminder to myself that in order to be good at my job, I actually need to not be in front of my screens. I need to not be online. I need to not be on my phone. I need to be out in the world talking, having good conversations with people, expanding my own network, expanding my own exposure to different types of things, because all of that plays influence into how I serve the client. So for me, that means drastically cutting back on my working hours and also being more strategic with my time, because I want to make sure that I have absolute clarity and quality ideas by the time I'm talking to the client. And if that means I need to wind down and maybe clean my house or take my dog on a walk afterwards and not jump right into design work or not jump right into emails, that's what I have to do, right? Because it does take a different amount of skill, because it's not tied to something that you can necessarily see. It is the idea, and that is the execution of the idea, that is the whole role of the creative director. So with all of that, we've got so much in this episode. I hope this gives you some clarity. If you learned something, please share it. It always means a lot to us. Share it with a friend. If you want to continue this conversation, let's kick it off in the Kiss My Aesthetic Facebook group. Let's talk about if you would consider yourself a creative director or something else. There's also so many different things you can go from there. You can be a design strategist. You can be do analytics. You can be an art director. You can be a senior designer. There's so many roles in this kind of org chart. But I think where I'm coming from is I never had a corporate job. So I never had a corporate job description. I didn't do the 9-to-5 thing ever. So I'm kind of making it up as I go. And the more I'm learning is the more I feel like it's an Achilles heel, but it's also like a secret strength. I'm not comparing it to anything else. I'm really kind of paving my own way, making my own path, and I'm happy to share. And that's why you're here. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for joining us for the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. Don't forget to follow along and leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll see you in the Kiss My Aesthetic Facebook group for years and years of behind the scenes content and over 5,000 connections with fellow creatives. For show notes from today's episode, please visit mkwcreative.co/podcast. This episode was edited by Berta Wired, and theme music comes from Eliza Vera and Nathan Menard. Catch you next time.